Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a certain kind of guy who just goes out and chases records.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess if you get to that point where you've already won at two different schools, I mean, what's important to Nick Saban? Is winning titles important to Nick Saban, or is earning records in the record books
important to
Nick Saban? Well, no, you can't have both. In this situation, winning titles means the sure thing, staying at Alabama, winning more titles. Chasing records means going to Texas to try to win more titles, and you don't know if you can get that or not.
Well,
Texas is pretty strong because they're going to give you just about everything you need.
Yeah.
But you know, if you want to impress me, go to Iowa State and win a national title. Turn Iowa State into a powerhouse.
Yep. Well,
if you really want to take on a challenge,
now Nick Saban will retire from Alabama because he's now won a couple more national championships. So yes, there is the possibility that he can outdo Bear Bryant. You know, I think Nick Saban was also looking at the fact of what Clemson fans are going to have to come to grips with, and it may be 4 or 5 years down the road, but, you know, what goes up may come down if Dabo Swinton. You know, there's so many variables in place, and I think Nick Saban has always been realized, go build the program, get a couple of titles, and go do something else. So now he has that chance to knock out. But if you're a Texas fan, are you not a little mad at Mack Brown because 1 year later he gets fired, dumped, gone? Nick Saban didn't even think about that job at that point. And they end up with Charlie Strong, who goes 16-21 over three seasons, further drove that program down the tank. And now they got Tom Herman trying to rebuild it.
So you should never have to rebuild Texas.
That's my thing. That is my thing. So if I'm a Texas fan, I'm kind of ticked off at Mack Brown at this point because, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Absolutely no doubt about it, Diesel. But you know what? You know when you can begin to see the end. You can feel it. Maybe it's on the Texas administrators for not just making the move, going, hey, you guys can be mad as a fan base all you want to, but we're getting ready to bring in what – people will call one of the top two or three best football coaches of all time to fix this. They would have been all in at that point. But think about where Texas could be, what might have happened with Alabama. You know, a lot of people would assume, well, that would have screwed Clemson. I'm sorry. I'm not sure if Dabo Swinney had enough leverage in 2012 to be brought up for that job. But now I think Dabo's too smart to ever think about going and replacing Nick Saban. Let somebody else go get run out for 3 years and be that guy in between.
Yeah, you know, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with Mack Brown at North Carolina. I mean, he left Texas under less than stellar circumstances. He's retired. He's old. I mean, I know that he was your coach before and you got to love him for it, but if you could take the baby blue sunglasses off, how do you really feel about, you know, a 97-year-old Mack Brown stepping in to take over your program, or to rebuild your program? He's not going to be there for more than 3-4 years tops.
I think that North Carolina fans probably realize that right now we'll take somebody.
Is this grasping at straws?
No, build it, and then let's go look for somebody smart to take it over. Here's the thing. North Carolina, at the height of their program, was with Mack Brown. Some people might say the 70s when they had Dick Crum as a head coach and quarterbacks like Scott Stankavage and Mark May, who's the father of Luke May, the former basketball player with the Tar Heels. Some would say that's the heyday. But the point being, they had reached 10 wins at North Carolina when Mack Brown took off to go take over at Texas. And that is a good jump. You know what I mean? You'll never compare Texas and North Carolina in football, just like you can't, even though they've had good runs at times, you'll never compare Texas basketball with North Carolina basketball. You know what I mean? So that was a jump forward, in my opinion. They passed it off to Carl Torbush, a defensive coordinator. And again, that those days should be gone. You know what I mean? And he let it go away. Carl Torbush is fired, and nothing's ever really happened with North Carolina football.
I also want to know, with North Carolina football, are their fans trying to get North Carolina back to where they were under Mack Brown before, or do they think somehow Mack Brown is going to turn them into what he built at Texas? Because one is a long shot, the other is dang near impossible.
No, I think North Carolina fans would be happy, and they would have kept Fedor for a decade if he could have kept winning 9 games a year in making an ACC championship game like they did against Clemson in Charlotte. You remember that was, I think, the first year Clemson won the national title with Deshaun Watson. In that run, it wasn't a blowout. It's like 13 points. But North Carolina, if they could have that effort in football with that big of a university, with that much money flowing through, I think ultimately they'd be happy with that, because they look at football as pretty much a precursor to basketball season tipping off. But one of the things that's made South Carolina better right now, and we've heard it from J.C. Sherbert, it's the fact that South Carolina's getting a lot of recruits. Now, is the payoff coming? It may have the other day. We were talking about crystal balls, if you remember, Diesel. 100% of the crystal ball projections had Miles Murphy, the 4-star defensive lineman from North Carolina, committing to the Gamecocks. It turned out that was wrong. He actually committed to North Carolina. So we will see how that falls out. One of his teammates is also committed to the Gamecocks, and Miles Murphy has said, I'm going after him to get him to be a Tar Heel. So we may see that kind of flip take place with one other player. But, yeah, you know, show me the money in college football means show me recruiting, and that was a big pickup for Mack Brown right there. And I'm going to be interested to see how he handles ACC Media Days. Is he the new head coach of North Carolina football, or is he the new old head coach? You know what I mean? Are people going to treat this as a farce? Because, look, Randy Edsall's return to UConn has not worked out very well. They're, what, next to last in the 130 poll by Matt Mercier of the Orlando Sentinel, not knowing what's going to happen to their football program. I would say most times teams have gotten a coach to come back outside of a short run by John Robinson at Southern Cal back in the day. Historically, has not ended very well. So,
well, selfishly, I'm certainly hoping that it's not going to go well for Mack Brown, at least in year one. After that, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, y'all play him this year, right?
That's right.
And you got, matter of fact, you could be Captain Carolina if you knock off the Gamecocks in November and the Tar Heels earlier in the season. So,
that'd be epic.
All right, real quickly, because you're going to head back, because you got to be on 93.3 The Planet at 7 p.m. Couple things. You know, number one, say your goodbyes here at Bada Bing, but, you know, anything hit your conversation? Have you watched, outside of what we've seen in the studio, 15-year-old Coco Gauff, and she was eliminated Monday from Wimbledon, you know, the fortnight at Wimbledon. Have you watched any of this year's fortnight?
Not a bit.
And you know why? She don't know anybody playing in it, correct?
No, I didn't know anybody playing it last year, and I didn't watch it either.
Yeah. But
or the year before.
Is there another sport where you can be number one in the world 10 years ago and still be number one today? I mean, you can't really say that about golf.
If you're Tom Brady, then yeah.
Yeah, if you are, I guess they are those few. But, I mean, go look at Rafael Nadal. Roger Federer made the semifinals. He, with today's win at Wimbledon, he becomes the most winning athlete in tennis at the major tournament level, you know, and all. But you can almost go back and look 10 years ago, and you may see the same semifinals at Wimbledon this year. There's no other sport like it. It's just really kind of strange. You don't even see that in golf.
But is that, when we talk about golf not having any big names, is that almost kind of good for tennis?
I would say it's bad because
the big names are sticking in there?
No, because I don't know who any of them are. I mean, outside of those four, and that's not going to last forever. What was great back in the day, old guys like Tom Morgenthau or account rep like me can remember, Jimmy Connors. He kind of passed the torch to John McEnroe. John McEnroe kind of was Andre Agassi at one point, and then Agassi to Sampras. Us and then on. We don't have that in tennis right now. And the worst thing we can do is label Coco Gauff, 15 years old, the future of American tennis after one performance at Wimbledon. But let's take
you know how it is. You win one game, you're automatically the GOAT.
Yep. But when it comes to internationally, there may not be a better sport than the game of tennis. Your last thoughts here from Bada Bing when it goes before you head back to Intercom.
Come get some. The food's good.
Absolutely next level. They're starting to fill in here for dinner, so make sure you get your to-go order. You can go by. You can be the hero at home tonight if you stop by here and get dinner. And that's why my wife, my child, and her boyfriend are here. My wife was getting her dinner. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. What happened to American tennis? What has happened to – I mean, let's call it what it is. What has happened to Anglo-Saxon tennis? Because back in the day, considered this run of people, and now – I mean, you got players from all over the world. Internationally, it's great for the game. Locally here in the U.S., it's not.
Here.
All right. Diesel's in the van or in his Jeep on the way back. That's a warning for Woodruff Road. Tom Morgenthau, one of our account reps, who is the account rep for Bada Bing Pizza, is a former professional tennis player. Where'd you play in college?
I played in the state of Florida, Indian River State College.
All right. So you went community college, you went to pro. One of my questions today for those two young guys was what event is still a played as a fortnight at? And Patrick Brown got it right with Wimbledon.
It's only at Wimbledon.
All right. I remember growing up, and, you know, I gave a little bit of that quiz to them earlier about things like George Michael's Sports Machine back in the day and wide World of Sports, things of that nature. But I would get up and sneak out of my room at night when Wimbledon, when I was a kid, simply in the fact that NBC would run that 11:30 show right before, right after the local news and right before they went to Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. Yep. And that was the only way we were getting updates from Wimbledon back in the day. What has happened to American tennis? And maybe I referenced it wrong when I said Anglo-Saxon earlier, because I was kind of referring to back in the day, it didn't matter what country you were from or anything, whether it was Boris Becker and Steffi Graf from Germany or going back to Virginia Wade, you know what I mean?
She's British.
Yeah, the British. Just pull you back. Just there we go. All right. So, if it's not for the Williams sisters, what have we had in American tennis in the last 15 years? Serena and Venus have dominated like nobody else. We haven't even had a male step up. We still have Federer. The same cast of characters. You know, we saw back when we were growing up, tennis passed off. I mean, I remember Bjorn Borg winning five consecutive Wimbledon titles, and then Johnny McEnroe finally got him, and we hated Johnny Mac coming out of Stanford because he was a loudmouth, and his dad actually helped him. You know what I mean? God forbid today. He was calm compared to a lot of this stuff we see today with dads. And then I can go back and start naming Aaron Krikstein and a whole bunch, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like Martina Navratilova and Yvonne Lendl showed up, and the Americans haven't really.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Been around since, minus Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras. And that is a pretty nice way to end it on the American side.
Yeah, Pete Sampras, he was an incredible player. He had a long run. Andre Agassi ran into some health problems. He never felt good on the court. Great player.
I just watched something on 60 Minutes Australia about him the other night on YouTube, not YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. He spends all his time. He has a college preparatory academy with Steffi Graf in Las Vegas. That's what he spends all his time doing now.
Yeah, his foundation is incredible. He has really given back what he does in Las Vegas after his career. He's kind of is a role model for players after they get off tour what to do to help others.
All right, so why, you know, we got more country clubs. We got more facilities than any place in the world when it comes to tennis. But, like, coming out of Fort Jackson the other day for George Rogers Tournament, the tennis facility's right next to the golf facility. You can tell that they put a lot more money into the golf facility than the tennis, all right? It's just obvious, number too. It's the nicest golf facility for the Army in the country. But that's kind of everywhere. I was telling you, we used to have a pro tennis tournament in Greenville where, oh, God, Rod Laver played once right before he retired. Who was the doubles player that McEnroe won? So Peter Fleming. Yeah. Why are we at such a standstill with American tennis that we are now calling a 15-year-old the future, the hopes of American tennis, and she only made it about four rounds in, and she did fantastic. Why don't we have somebody out there, I mean, whether it's an Aaron Krickstein or somebody at that level that's even recognizable when it comes to a name?
Well, the USTA is doing a lot to develop players. At Lake Nona in Orlando, they have a USTA development center. It's state of the art. A lot of these young players are developing down there. The USTA, unfortunately, we're behind in developing players. The European countries, they started taking advantage, and their players developed earlier. I think the U.S. now has some players developing into juniors, but the next generation of tennis pros, I think there's going to be a changing of the guard. It's going to be on the men's tour a little bit longer because of the top four of Fed, Rafa Nadal. You got Novak Djokovic. And, I mean, now you got Andy Murray. He's on the back end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he just got knocked out with what with Serena in the mixed doubles. So, was it? Would you call it the Balkan countries that were the ones that actually kind of took the grass out of the hands for American tennis? Because we had a few Brits and a few South Americans, and you know, Ilie Năstase from Romania, Pancho Seguras,
Pancho Gonzalez.
But it was, you know, it seems to me it was kind of American tennis, and then the Balkan countries, starting with Martina Navratilova that came out of Czechoslovakia, and then. Yvonne Lindell, and then
Australia had a good run too with Yvonne Goolagong. You'd mentioned
Rod Laver.
That's
a little bit below before my time, but then you know the Germans just came with Boris Becker and Steffi Graf, and
they had a player named Michael Stich who also won Wimbledon. They had some good players.
Yeah, and then Sweden with Stefan Edberg and all those guys backing up Bjorn Borg's run. Yeah, so you know my point is I think is it good that the game's gotten this international to where, I mean, you got to really delve deep into a bar or somebody not named Tom Morgenthau to ask somebody if they've watched Wimbledon. And to me, that was it growing up. The tradition, the white balls, the all-white attire, you know, the ball
rackets.
Boy. Yeah, the wooden rackets. Bancroft was my first tennis racket, all right? And I remember when my dad got a Wilson T2000 as a gift.
That's what Jimmy Connors played.
Yeah, and people were like, that's sacrilegious. Mm-hmm. You can't have a metal tennis racket. Yeah, how dare you?
Remember a guy named Martha Ash?
He had
a unique racket back in his time,
so,
too.
So is there some talent coming around? Because, I love it, these events. It's like tennis majors and golf majors. Hey, go red, white, and blue. You know?
There is, Mark. There's really some good female talent. The ladies' side, it's getting deeper. But on the men's side, until Nadal's done, Federer's done, Djokovic is done. Djokovic might end up having more majors than Fed and Rafa because of his age and how many majors he's won. But there's some players coming up, Dominic Thiem. There's some really good men's players coming
up. Indian River Community College, Jacksonville area.
Fort Pierce, Florida.
Fort Pierce. Okay. I was just thinking that was somewhere up in the Jacksonville area. No. All right. Real quickly, we've been here all day. We'll be here once a month for the rest of the year. We let Diesel out of the house to come. We can't do a Bada Bing or Frankie's remote without Diesel being here. I think they like the challenge of trying to feed him, but give an idea about Bada Bing. You know, Big George, Anna, they're so easy to work with. The recipes are homemade. It's authentic, traditional. I mean, the pizza we tell about and get in here for lunch, but people may not realize how good the authentic pastas like lasagna, manicotti, homemade ravioli, or the veal and chicken dishes are.
Yeah, well, everything the Heart of Felix family does is from scratch. They make their own sauce every day from scratch. Their mozzarella, it's fresh. They're a step above. They're restaurant people their whole life, and They just deliver a great product, great value, and it's prepared perfectly.
Yeah, they're so good. They're so nice, and, you know, we've come up here and had like Diesel and I. Diesel actually spends his money here. When we're not here, we've met our friends, the Fritz's, up here for dinner a couple of times. And, you know, listen, they try – no, this is our night. This is where we chose to come to dinner. Yeah. We aren't letting you give us a discount or anything else. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's all I need. But, Tom, thanks for everything. See, you learn something new every day. You and I have worked together fairly closely as anybody down there in the sales department for a few years now, and you learn something new every day. Aggie thanks, doing well. Man. Let's keep her in our prayers. Tom, like my wife over here, who's a two-time breast cancer survivor, I don't care if that kid up in Bowling Springs like me saying that or not, if you know what I'm talking about, Diesel. Your wife, again, our wives proved that they're a hell of a lot stronger than we are.
They're amazing.
All right, buddy. Be good. Thank you for the hookup here. And, guys, make sure you get hooked up with Bada Bean Pizza. We'll come back. We'll close up shop here, 1860 Woodruff Road. The phone number, get a to-go order in at 234-1515. I'm telling you, it's the pizzas. It's the pasta. It's bringing a taste of New York to the upstate. All right, welcome back in. We've had a blast here at Bada Bean today. And listen, it is the dog days of summer. It's hot out there. We get it. Jimmy, get back in with us. Guess what? We'll let you finish out the show at 844-GSP-ESPN. But can you imagine an ice hockey match right now might be good. You know what I mean, Patrick? I would not mind
feel great
walking
right now
into Bridgestone Arena in Nashville and going, oh, crap, I need to go buy something to put on in April in Nashville. Now, number one, it was the coldest weekend that they had in Nashville in about a month. But, yeah, you walk into the arena and you're thinking, now we got in early and got a little tour of Bridgestone, my daughter and I. But you get in there and you feel that ice and there's not that many people in there. You feel it. Do you not, Pat? You really feel it. I mean, the temperature goes down like, a little bit.
It's one of those like surreal experiences where you walk into a building and you're freezing, but you're also warm at the same time because like you're surrounded by, you know, all this hot food and all this, you know, all the people and stuff like that. But at the same time, you're watching the product and you get a little bit colder every single time. It's like being at Lambeau for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm with you. What's the coldest game that you've ever been? Okay, the coldest game I've ever been to in my life. There's one of two. It is the first year of the Carolina Panthers at the at Clemson. I think it was San Francisco that came in. Meet your mic there, Pat. It was dependent on what side of the stadium. My parents' seats growing up were on the visitor side. For the Panthers there that year, it was on the home side, and that was what year you wanted to be on the visitor side. It was in the sunshine. If you were on the home side, you were miserable. Outside of that, my wife and I walking out of Vanderbilt Stadium for the Music City Bowl, getting killed. Bama got killed by Virginia Tech. That was one of the coldest walks I've ever had. And then three, South Carolina versus UConn about 4, 5, 6 years ago in the Birmingham Bowl. Three coldest places I've ever been for a sporting event in my life. Jimmy, I hope you're doing well, bud.
Good. How about you, sir?
Man, I'm closing up shop. Thanks for getting in. What you got for us today?
All right, you were talking about back in the day, several times earlier, and it brought back memories. It's like there's three things that you couldn't have watched sports or cartoons with. Do you know what those three things are?
Excuse me, one more time. Three things that you could or couldn't watch sports with.
You couldn't watch TV, any kind of TV, without these three things back in the day.
Well, you needed some type of antenna up on the top of your house because my parents, up until about 10 years ago, still had their old-school antenna attached to the column where the fireplace went out. You know what I mean? So that
right.
was a
I'm talking about the ones directly on top of the TV. What were those called?
Well, you had rabbit ears.
Ears, and then there was UHF and VHF.
Yeah, VHF was channel 2, 3, 4, 5 through 13. And then UHF was all the other channels, and you had a click dial underneath the main dial and you would have to adjust rabbit ears. Now, for people that don't know it, Jimmy, one of the greatest sketches or one of the greatest bits in a sitcom was in making fun of their own was Married with Children, when the Bundy family would get in Fox viewing position. What was ironic is they were broadcast on Fox, but, you know, it had tenfold. They were all in different positions.
Right,
one had
right.
a head. That was what it was like at times to try to get a television signal when we were younger.
Yeah, if you broke your rabbit ears, you had to use a wire hanger.
Yeah. Oh,
then,
God.
And then for the, I think for the UHF to get a good channel, you would have to wiggle it and then put like a soft match pack in between there to hold it into place or fold up some paper.
Well, listen, let me ask you this. Maddest my dad really ever got at me in my lifetime over something that wasn't real serious. Do you remember we were talking about old school announcers? Was it Vern Fleming back in the day? And he would do a Sunday morning college football show. And this is before we got cable. That show would come out of WBT in Charlotte, which at the time was about the biggest over-the-air signal. And I tried to dial it up one Sunday morning, and I caused my dad missing the, like Charlie Pell show or something like that with Clemson football or what. That's about the only time I ever saw my dad's eyes roll in the back of his head because he was going to miss the coach's show. Mm-hmm. So,
and you spoke of your dad and watching TV till late. I used to have to put a towel underneath my door. He couldn't see me watching basketball. I watched New York Knicks on ABC till late at night, and he would say, "Turn that damn light off."
Yeah, that, or "I hear you," and you've got it like only two clicks up. You know what I mean? Those are the those are still things I use as an adult. Thanks for getting in, Jimmy. Get in with us tomorrow. All right, real quickly, I want to wish a happy birthday to my buddy DT. Patrick, if DT did not get me in this business like 12 years ago, you would not be dealing with me today. David Townsend and James Williamson, we grew up calling each other the three buddies. We still talk at 52 years old. So, DT, David Townsend, happy birthday. Now I'm not a year older than you. Be blessed. We'll do it again tomorrow at 4 p.m. Thanks to Bada Bean. Come out here, get yourself some food or get yourself some lunch tomorrow. They are the best.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.